Shout out. Happy birthday, Gateway, all right? So one, two. Happy birthday, Gateway, all right? We are 1 year old. Wow. Time has really gone by so quickly. You know, all the pictures that you saw were, I'm not sure if that represented every speaker, but I suppose most of the speakers that have come through the last 52 weeks and have blessed us with their knowledge and with their insights. You know, how many of you were truly blessed over the year, learning from all these great people, you know, I mean, right? So we are going to have another exciting year in 2020. I think God has great things in store for us. You know, as a church, we are kind of like have some plans on what we want to do. For one is in March, we hope, not say hope, okay, we intend, all right? In March, we intend to start Sunday service, all right? Come on. So we're going to believe God for that. I know some people have come up to me, how are you going to do it? Who are the volunteers? I don't know. You know, that's what YB said, you know, just trust God, you know. Because life's so uncertain anyway, so, you know. One day they say, yes, I'll volunteer. Then the other day they'll say they don't want to volunteer. So anyway, so we trust God for that, all right? So it's going to be an exciting year. But more important than that, right, we're going to do a lot of things for God. But I think year 2020 is a year, I just want to encourage all of you, I think God wants us to just grow deeper and closer to Him. Amen? I mean, not just about the works. I mean, God wants us to advance His kingdom, surely, but He's more interested in you. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, God is interested in you. All right? So He wants us to all grow together, all right? So we want to grow deeper, and we really want to grow closer to Him this 2020. And we pray that we'll get 2020 vision, all right? Not blurry vision, but we're going to get 2020 vision, you know? Yeah, so why don't you all stand up and we'll just pray for this year? And stand up together and we'll just commit the year to God as we celebrate this 1 year that He's given us. Let's lift our hands to God even right now. Lord, we come to You as a people, Lord. We just surrender ourselves to You and we want to thank You for what You've done in our lives, what You've done in this church over the past 12 months. Lord, we pray that in all the things we've done, we pray that You were glorified, oh God, Lord. That indeed You are pleased, oh God, Lord, because Your name has been lifted high, oh God. And so, Lord, today we come to You even as we look to this coming year itself, Lord. This year, 2020, we ask that You give us 2020 vision, Lord. Lord, we set aside any form of unbelief, oh God, Lord. Unbelief in where the church is going, unbelief in what we're going to do, unbelief that whether God can come through, unbelief even in the areas of our own business and jobs and all that. Lord, we set aside every form of unbelief and just begin to trust You more, God, Lord. And we pray indeed that we will see the things that You have in store for us, our destiny, Lord, kept intact for us, God. We pray that all these things will come to pass, oh God, Lord, as we trust You more, God. And so as a church, Lord, today we lift You up on high. We give You praises. We worship You. And indeed, we glorify You in every way, Lord. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. All right, please take a seat. Thank you so much for praying with us. I know we have a number of guests here, and so we really welcome you. Did we already ask who are the first-timers here? Have we done that? All right, great. But tonight, especially because of our anniversary, I've asked our senior pastor, Renation Movement in Malaysia, to speak for us. And Pastor Timothy Low is really our senior pastor, and like I mentioned this before, he sits in the Apostolic Council of the Every Nation Movement worldwide. So he's really at the top of he's right at the apex, okay, of all the spiritual leaders in our movement. And really respect this man, and really just look at his life and the way he runs the ministry and how he leads his family. I believe he has got a lot of things to share with us. I believe God has given him a powerful word, because right until 11 o'clock, he was saying, hey, I don't know what to say. You know? But you know, every man of God will hear from God himself, right? And so just a short while later, he wrote, I got it. Wow, I felt good. All right, so let's put our hands together for Pastor Timothy Lowe. Thank you.
Square maybe fits me better because I'm more square than round. I'm just kidding. The brain is square, the body is round. That's the problem. Anyway, I just want to say that really, you know, it is really an honor just to be with us, with every one of you, together with Pastor Po Sing, to build this church. Every time I come, I got to uphold the culture, which is to scramble for a jacket. Which, at the end of last year, me and my son went to the mall and bought another new jacket. So if you invite me more, then you get to see the new jacket one day. We had a photo session together, all the pastors from all the churches, and I borrowed his white shirt. So I'm sitting down there. I say I haven't returned to him yet, apparently. So I just text my wife. I said, do you know where's the white shirt or not? Anyway, you know, when you have a family of three boys and one girl, and all of us are about the same size, so the shirt can go anywhere, okay? In fact, last night I had a couple from Indonesia who came to visit us. I don't know how many of you know Frankie Lily. Lily was someone who had cancer. So we had dinner with them, and just a remarkable story of how she had cancer, and she is far from coming out. But she is just so grateful to who God is, and was just, I had an incredible dinner with them, and then I broke all the rules, took her out for durian. She said, I'm not supposed to eat. I said, but she said, can I, one can. So, but because the husband wants to eat, so I went there, she took four, so I don't know what to do, okay, but I leave it to God, her, and the husband to sort it out, okay, but they gave us some Indonesian kueh, you know, and then they tasked us and said, you know, could you give this to Pastor Steven, and this is, give it to someone, and this is for your family, and I said, okay, great. So I came back, and I put everything in the fridge. Then this morning, I came and took them out. While YB was speaking, a text came in, because apparently one of the boxes that I gave to Pastor Steven, half of it was consumed by my kids. So when you have three boys and one girl, and they are all at that age and stage of life where they can, you know, just consume everything, and there's always surprises, okay? How many of you enjoyed YB session? Be able to put down her guards, you know, and just be herself, and I thought it was just brilliant, you know, to talk about just the reality of life and future, who God is and her faith, and just being extremely candid about it. And I think that's really phenomenal. Okay, I want to begin by really honoring Gateway. I want to honor Pastor Po Sing and Anne again for just their friendship and partnership and being like-minded with us, even wanting to make disciples. And I'm always so, in fact, when Pastor Julius was here, how many of you were here when we had the prayer meet? Pastor Julius was here. That was about last week. And while church, you know, Julius turned to me. He says, I've never seen Po Sing like this before. He says, this is a new Po Sing. You know, this is, that doesn't mean something, but just a new Po Sing, okay? Just a better Sing, okay? But that's the latest Po Sing. He said, you know, I've never seen him so confident and almost came out from his shell, you know. And I just want you to know that God has shaped this man, this couple, through all the thick and thins of Manila, and so that today he is the right person to take this church and this community of people and the entrepreneurial world and all that God wants to do through Anne. And thank Pastor Po Sing and Anne, really, for just their leadership, okay? So Po Sing asked me to say something. We are in the midst of Amazing Grace, but he said, what if you don't start the Amazing Grace? Because just in case there are some of you who potentially heard the way I started Amazing Grace. So I'm asking you that I won't talk about Amazing Grace, but please have grace on me, okay, as I do that, all right? Where do I see? Okay, that's the thing, okay? I'm going to entitle this is what we say, okay? The reason I call that title is I can't think of a better title. And there is the end of the session where you will kind of want every one of you to walk away with a certain statement, and then that you will echo, this is what we say, all right? Now, so you cannot leave until I come to that statement. Just in case if you leave and then you don't know, I don't know what is he saying, okay? This is what, I don't know what we're going to say, okay? So you got to kind of just hang on with that until I bring you to that spot as I celebrate Every Nation Gateway with your anniversary, okay? First of all, I want to thank all the volunteers for serving this house. I know that in the early days, so many of you were running, and till today, some of you, I know sometimes I see, hey, Justin's still on stage playing guitar, and then, oh, I see this, you know, and then I know Jason, so many years, you know, and I see him there Sunday, and then I see him here, I see some, so I just want to thank all of you that has served beyond the call of duty, and extraordinary. So I kind of coil all those by calling it, does this move? Press where? It's there, okay. Red means, okay, it has to be green. Okay, wait, let me just get this, okay. All right. Sorry, point there. Okay, yes. Okay. I call this, thank you for delivering the wow. Could you say it together? Thank you for delivering the wow, okay? Now, I'm not too sure how many of you were with us in kind of talking about wanting to brand our serving, wanting everybody that served the church as the church continued to grow to bring a like-mindedness. And I explain the reason we serve is because we want to bring a wow. Okay, come on, everybody try this, okay? One, two, go.
Wow.
Okay, now. You must say wow in a wow way. You cannot say wow. Okay, get out, okay? Or you go wow. Okay, you must, and then you must have that little breath like wow. Okay, can we all through that? Okay, one, two, go.
Wow.
Okay, that kind of wow. Okay, now, so you must have that wow effect. Okay, and the reason we wanted to do that was we wanted everybody that serves. We want to have a goal, which is we wanted to deliver the wow. So that if you're a guest, you come in here and you, wow, you say, wow, this is so nice, you know. When the thing comes down, wow, so nice, you know. The worship, wow, so nice. The pastor, the wife, so handsome, so pretty, wow, okay. 60-year-old caught in a 40-year-old body, okay. And think like 20 years old, okay. That will be my best description of Pastor Paul Singh, okay? And just all this, you know, trans, whatever thing that, okay, that's happening in the world right now, okay? But the background story of this wow was really this passage, okay? So let me just take some time to kind of set that platform. This is a story of when Solomon became famous. So now, if you are not a Christian, the story of Solomon is in any history book because Solomon is a true figure. Every historian recognizes Solomon is one of the wisest men. In fact, the wisest man ever. Every history. You don't even have to be a Christian. David and Goliath is a historical figure. It wasn't just a fairy tale. So is the story of Solomon. And in fact, it was Harrison Ford, you know, that kind of talked about the Temple of Solomon and all those. So it was a historical thing, really. So this is the story of King Solomon. When he reaches the peak of his fame, there was a queen of Sheba from the east heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. So it wasn't Solomon's fame. It was actually the fame of God. And I want to say this, okay? The reason we do church is not that we become famous. The reason we do church is God become famous. So just in case, you know, you like all these CEOs so that you can hang around with people that have certain clout and, you know, all those things, I want you to know that we are all servants. So the higher you climb, so to speak, so he talked about I'm with the council up there, but actually we are just servants, which is why right after this, I must rush back because we're going to have a conference call, you know. So we are merely servants, okay? So the Bible says, he says, concern the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Wow, this is a woman thing. Okay, anyway. Which my wife tests me all the time, okay? And she came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, okay? With camels bearing spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. Sounds like a woman, right? Just tell everything about on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Because if men, right, nothing much on their mind. Right? So, but for women, there's everything in her mind. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and not just the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, which is, means the temple and everything, the food of his... Can you imagine the Bible went into every detail as it described Queen Sheba encountering Solomon, his wisdom, the house that he built, the architecture, the smell, the flow, the rooming structure, the way he puts the cabinet and, you know, everything, okay? And then the food of his table. I mean, this is Queen Sheba. She must have watched and ate a lot of nice food by all the famous chefs, okay? And she ate the food and the sitting of his official, even the way the officials was being introduced, you know, whether from the shortest to the tallest, you know, or the fattest to the thinnest or the, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. And the attendance of it, even the ushers that she took notice of. Can you imagine this? This is really a women thing. You only know there's a door. Then, yeah, if there is food, and you walked away, forgot what's the color of the carpet, chair, you know. So my wife always makes fun of me, which is true. After staying in the house, same house for about 10 years, sometimes I wake up and say, I didn't know there was a switch there. You know, I literally didn't know. My wife would be like, Alama, you know, there's a switch there since day one, okay? So men, okay? But women notice everything. And then he says the attendance of the servant, even their clothing, right? Fake, Petaling Street, or, you know, Adadis, Adidas, you know, that kind of thing. She noticed everything. His cupbearer, which is those who are trusted by the king, and his burnt offerings that's offered at the house of God. So you can understand Queen Sheba had a quick glance of every detail about Solomon and all that he does. But the Bible says there was no more breath in her. You know why? Because she's just trying to say, wow. So here it is. She came to the house of Solomon. She went through every detail. She kind of walked away. Wow. Every volunteer, I just want to say thank you. Because you delivered the, come on. Wow. You delivered the wow. Some of you, you have to finish your job, daytime job early to rush here. Some of you never had proper dinner. Some of you came in here, saw the chicken, you thought you can get the chicken, but today you're not volunteer, you only have mee hoon. I was in that room, I get to have the chicken. Because I'm preaching. When I'm not preaching, I don't know whether I get the chicken or so or not anyway, okay? But here it is, okay? So, now I can imagine, okay, some of you sacrifice and after we close, some of you need to clean up and make sure things are well and all that little thing. And here this Pastor Paul saying, talking about we need to start a Sunday service and we need volunteers. So all of you have so many thoughts. I want to say that you delivered the, come on, say together. Wow. And thank you for delivering the wow. And she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and of your wisdom. And I want you to see that the wow is to point to God. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own, my eyes have seen. And he, behold, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report I heard. Happy are your men, happy are your servants. You know, I like that. I mean, here it is, she is. She knew that, and you know, all those things. Everybody was happy. And then who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. And then she turns to God. It's so powerful. She said, blessed be the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. He has made you king that you may execute justice and righteousness. You know, our desire, everything that we do, the wow that we deliver, and hopefully that some of you who are here for the first time, some of you who are second or third time, that you will kind of turn to God and say, wow, all this is because they're doing it for God. That we can just bring all of you to that little focus. It's never about us. It is really the wow. Okay? So turn to your neighbor and say, wow. Okay, I know some of you who have long waited to tell the girl, wow, okay? So I gave you the opportunity, okay? All right. Okay, now, I kind of want to switch a little bit to an anniversary thought. Okay, now let me just look at my time. I'm supposed to finish by maybe, wow, 9:30, okay. Wow. Okay. But I wanted to say this, okay? Behind the wow was W-O-W, that's the word, right? So we told every volunteer three things to produce a wow. There is a big wow that people come and say, wow, but behind, number one, that's our worship unto God, the first W. That's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do. Because that's our worship unto God. Number two, to produce all those, we need greater ownership. You got to own it. And then number three, the other W-O-W, is to be wholehearted. So I just want to thank every volunteer for your worship, for the way you own this, and finally for serving God wholeheartedly. All right, so would you give yourself a hand for doing that, okay? Now, I wanted to just move on to a little thought, and hopefully I'll just land at the place where we will all say this is one of a moment. Anniversary is one of those moments that you kind of reflect back and you kind of look forward. I'm not too sure about every wedding anniversary, okay? But it was meant to be like that, okay? And when you're married for 15 years and you're so grateful for the past 15, you kind of look forward for the next 15, and I'm going to hit this year 25th anniversary for me and my wife, and we were just talking about the things that God has done in our life and looking forward for the next phase of our life. And, you know, so anniversary is created where you had a moment to capture. You know, life is really a lot of celebration. People capture photos because they wanted to capture that moment. So there were a lot of things in life. I can remember the moment that eventually creates a movement. Now, let me just kind of tie that both, okay? I remember our church had a lot of people serving. And there was one particular year that we wanted to highlight that everybody can serve. And we were kind of looking for a story. And I still remember that it was one Sunday, one of our Chinese church, and it was a couple called Fu San and Ga Ling. Fu San is right now maybe in his early 30s or mid 30s, and Ga Ling is also around that same age right now, the kid. It was one of those moments that you happen to catch it. So it was a Chinese service. Fu San is the chairman, or he's the one that leading the service, and Ga Ling is actually the song leader. And but they have a child. So I still remember so vividly, Ga Ling was worshiping God. Okay, was leading worship. Right after she leads the worship, as she came down, the husband took the baby, taking care of the baby behind, passed the baby to her for her to take care so that he can be the chairman. That transaction between the husband and wife, allowing the other to serve, and then switch the other one taking care of baby so that the other one can serve, that little moment, that picture means more, that picture paints what serving is all about. That picture potentially put to shame some of us who don't have children, but we never serve. That potentially picture puts to shame and challenge some of us who always say that, oh, you know, now I'm married, no more time. Now I've got children, no more time. But this is it, a couple that had little, you know, moments like that creates a movement when people see that and you highlight it, and everyone then say, you know what? I remember when I was studying in USM. Some of you knew the story, some of you may not. And I finished my Form 6. You know, I wanted to become a medical doctor. That didn't come true. And I still remember I came before God and I said, God, I really don't know what I want to be. I applied for 5 things. You know, the government did not deem fit, so didn't give me any of those 5. In fact, they gave me computer science. So this is 1990s, okay, early 90s. Oh, sorry, yeah. By then, computer science wasn't even a big thing. So I told myself that the government deemed. So when I went to USM, I kind of encountered God. And I still remember I told God this, that I'm willing to give my life, the rest of my life, to serve God. You know, that little moment kneeling down beside my bed and committing my life to God. And then the rest of it were history. God opened the door. I went to the States and became a pastor. And, you know, not that we have accomplished anything significant, but just because of that little decision that eventually we have every nation, Malaysia, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Just that little moment that every one of us have, which is very powerful. So I want moment, and hopefully with what I have yet to say, God will drop something in your heart that this anniversary will propel every one of you to dream bigger, to want to make more disciples, to want to have a trajectory for the church life of Gateway. Okay, so that's a little bit of my heartbeat. Now, to help me to do that, I'm going to go to a passage in the Bible, which is the passage in the book of Nehemiah. Okay, now let me give you a little bit of background. How many of you heard of this name called Nehemiah? Okay, maybe some of you have not been to church, you have not heard of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, it's a country of three kingdoms. You got Assyrian. Assyrian is known historically to be a vicious empire. This is the known world then, okay? And the Assyrian are very vicious. They're very violent. Whenever they take over a nation, their job is to kill. And that's the only thing they do. Which is why they took over the northern part of Israel. Okay, it's called Israel. The southern is called Judah. When they conquered the northern part of Israel, they literally butchered everybody. And they stopped short of absolutely destroying the whole nation of Judah. But by the grace of God, God stopped Assyria. And God helped Judah to survive. Over the years, just as empire switches from one to another, the nation of Babylon began to grow, its expand. And begin to be very strong. King Nebuchadnezzar was become one of the greatest king by then. So when King Nebuchadnezzar became very strong, they sort of took over Assyria. Just, you know, this is wars, okay? And you must understand, Israel is a very small piece of the land. In fact, they were always the fighting ground for all the big giants. They were just, you know, always the recipients of that. So when Babylon took over, Babylon had a different policy. The policy of Babylon was whichever land that they conquer, they will not kill, but they preserve its culture. They are more civilized. They enjoy culture. They enjoy what you have, you know, all those. So what Babylon did was when they conquered the nation of Israel, instead of killing all of them like Assyrian, they took them into captive. So the Bible talks about three different, they call it exile, means that they were taken out of Israel back to the Babylonian culture. Then you get the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Abednego, and all of that. Okay, so gone there. Quick story, in Babylon, God raised up the man called Daniel, okay, which eventually served five different kings. And Daniel was instrumental to actually usher in the next dealings of God, which is seeing the kingdom of Persia took over Babylon, just as all big empire in the moments of war. You can find the story in the book of Daniel. And there was a particular king by the name of King Cyrus. And he was actually predicted in the Bible about 500 years before he even showed up. That's pretty incredible. And God says that God is going to give Cyrus the strategy to actually win over the nation of Babylon. So truth to be told, they surrounded, besieged Babylon for about a year and they couldn't win the war. But one night, which the Bible explained historically, 500 years, that the gates or the river gates will be dry. So you must understand, the entire Babylon was connected by canal. So there were a lot of river gates. So that night, God said that 500 years before Cyrus came about, prophesied the name Cyrus that is going to conquer Babylon and told them that the river gates will be dry and he will march in to conquer. And that literally happened in the Bible. Which is why, when all this happened, Cyrus took over Babylon. One of the first person he met was Daniel, and Daniel was very old. So Daniel went to King Cyrus and says, King Cyrus, the Bible has been talking about you 500 years. Cyrus was blown away by the accuracy of the prophetic word. Cyrus, being an enemy, okay, coming from Persia, immediately declared that we will worship this God. So what happened was King Persia, the king of the kingdom of Persia, was very generous to the nation of Israel because of this incident. So they go to the nation of Israel and says, Daniel, what do you want? So Daniel said, you know what? According to the prophetic word of God, we are supposed to go back. Balik kampung. We are supposed, it's time for us, the Babylonian captivity finish. We are supposed to go back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. The king of Persia said, all right, done. Not a problem. There were few kings that after that signed the decree, pay for the bills, whatever resources you need, you go back and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Now, that's the little background, okay? Now, it is somewhere around this background. You have three different characters, and then I'll tell you the story. First of all, you have Nehemiah, which is the author of the book we're going to read. So Nehemiah was serving King Artaxerxes, okay? And King Artaxerxes was a Persian king. Nehemiah was his cupbearer, one of the trusted person. And so what happened was Nehemiah one day had one of his brother who went back to Judea. So remember, the Cyrus king said, everybody can go back. So a group of them went back, all right? So after about a couple of almost 60, 80 years, Nehemiah's brother came back to visit him. So Nehemiah stayed in Persia to serve the king. When the brother came, he says, Nehemiah, he says, what's happening to Jerusalem? Then he took all the photo he showed. He says, you know what, it's really bad. He said, look at my selfie, look at my, you know, whatever. He says, really bad. He says, the walls were broken. There was no dignity. Whenever there's a city where walls are broken, that means the enemy can come in and take whatever they want. He says, there's no protection. Everything is in shambles. And then the Bible says, Nehemiah heard all those. His heart was broken. So he did something that's extremely bold and gutsy. So one day he appeared very sad to the king. So the king was like, he said, what happened to you? Food poisoning? He said, no. He said, not food poisoning. He says, my brother visited me and showed me a couple of pictures about Jerusalem. And, you know, really, they are not doing well. He says, my heart is broken. He says, King, could I ask for a long leave? I want to go back and do something. And King Artaxerxes was at his best behavior. Look at Nehemiah and says, you know what? I will approve your leave. I'll pay for everything, whatever you need to rebuild, I'll send you. So the story goes, then Nehemiah went back to Israel and he saw how horrible it is. The Bible talks about he went through and scouted the city and it was a city without walls. You know, without walls means you are vulnerable. I cannot think of a better example, but how many of you, your house have gates, have doors? Right? Without walls, it's like one day your doors were removed. Anybody can come in. And you know, there's no privacy, there's nothing at all. So Nehemiah went back, he saw all of that. And then he told himself, I'm going to build the wall. Which then I introduced Sanballat and Tobiah. Okay, are you still with me? Now, whenever you build the wall, the internal people are happy because now we got protection. The external people who used to come in and out to take whatever food they want, they are now unhappy. Am I correct? Yeah. It's as simple as that. So one of the people that's not happy is Sanballat and Tobiah. Actually, there's another man called, I cannot remember, but there were three of them. They were of different, one is Moabite, one is Ammonites, the other one is Arabs, you know. So they were people who live around that region. But they've been happily taking whatever they want from the city of Jerusalem because there is no protection, no guards, nothing. So they're just happy. So the moment Nehemiah put up that wall, they were absolutely very unhappy. All right, now that's where we'll pick up the story. Okay, now, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, three of them, not empat sekawan, but three stooges, the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and there was no breach left in it. Although up to the times I have not set up the doors in the gate. So he has not put the doors, but just because there's wall, it says they were all very unhappy. All right? And then the Bible says, Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come and let us meet together at Hekaphirim, I don't know, sounds like a, maybe it sounds like a Old Town Kopitiam kind, okay, maybe, I don't know. In the plain of Ono, but they intended to do me harm. So Nehemiah was up in the wall, and he was building the wall just like anybody else. He mobilized everybody. He gave them the section, you take left, you take right, you take southeast, whatever. While he was doing that, people sent him notes. People said, hey, you know what, Nehemiah, Sambala and Geshem, they really want to hang out with you. And but then he gotten the news that they actually wanted to do him harm. Okay, which means that Sambala and Tobiah knows the only way to get Nehemiah to stop building a wall was to kill him. So they wanted to do him harm. All right. And then he said to them, he says, I send messengers to them saying, now this is where I want you to say the word together. One to go. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and come down to you? All right? So here it is. Nehemiah thought for a while. And then he said this. He says, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. You know, tonight, I want that little phrase to be what you are saying. You are doing a good work and you shouldn't come down. What Nehemiah was trying to tell Tobiah and all those, he says, you know what? I am so focused to do what God has called me to do, and nothing should distract me from doing any other thing. You know, life, sometimes we are always distracted by a lot of things. And you would agree with me, the things that we are distracted by is not as important than the things we are distracted from. Okay? The things that we are distracted by, most of the time, is not as important than the things we are being distracted from. So here am I, eh? So here am I, okay? I'm a father. I'm called to be a parenting. I'm called to be the father. Right? Take care of my kids, whatever, right? That's my, right? And then suddenly you have some distraction and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I want you to go to China, start a business. Leave your family. The thing that distracts you is not as important as the things that you are distracted from, because the things that you are focused to do are the important things that we have. Are you with me? You know, in life, you can work through life, you can work through your family, you know, there are always the essential thing that God has called us to do. And there will always be distraction that comes and knock on your door. So I'm a pastor, right? And I've always told myself that I'm doing a good work, I will not come down. Why should I stop and leave it and come down to do the rest of the thing? And that little thinking has kept me to be exactly where I am. So the moment when I stop business, I've got a lot of people who call me and say, hey, Pastor, you know, this one, Pastor, you know, why don't you just be part of this company? You just be the director. You just have to sign check and then you get this, whatever. You know, there were times I had those kind of things and then I pray about it and say, no, I think I better don't. And I consistently, last year I had someone who came to me, Pastor, all I need is your credibility. If I can put you there, maybe you show up one or two times, you know, and then you help me, and then, Pastor, you know, if we make it, you know, this is a percentage for you, can I put you here, whatever? I say, no, never mind. And I keep on saying no to so many things because I know what God has called me to do. I want to say to the whole entire Every Nation Gateway, you have done a great work and you do not want to come down and be distracted by potentially 101 things that may knock on the door of this church and say, do this, do that, try this, try that. You know, we are called to honor God and make disciples. So everything that I do, I try to land at that point. I'm going to go to China 2 weeks from now, right after Chinese New Year, maybe 3 weeks from now. And I ask myself, this trip that I'm going, obviously, is to work with the Every Nation China. Am I honoring God and making disciples? If it is, I'll make that trip. Every decision that I make, my time. So, a couple of weeks ago, end of last year, I led someone to Christ. His name is Daniel. And you know, simple thing, because of I know what I'm called to do. So Daniel has a little story. Daniel actually came from the sister. His sister is actually Mandy. So Mandy accepted Christ in 2018. Okay, Mandy accepted Christ. When Mandy accepted Christ, he tried to invite the brother Daniel to our church. Daniel is someone that doesn't like church. How many of you were like that? Okay. That's why church is created for people who don't like church. Okay, so he doesn't like church, but he came with Mandy one time. He came, I kind of met up with him, you know, and then he kind of had a little crisis in his life. In the midst of that crisis, and Mandy texts me and says, you know, my brother is struggling a little bit. Could you kind of reach out to him? So long story short, I reached out to him. And then I was kind of doing a discovering God. And then I met up with Daniel. So the first time I met up with Daniel, we had a very casual talk, you know, all those things. And then I said, Daniel, can I meet up with you 2 days from now? You know, I mean, if you're free, I happen to Yom Tah, you know, all those things. Now, I want you to know, that night, I potentially could have done so many things. But because I understood that I am called to make disciples, which is to avail my time, my bandwidth, my energy to help people to connect to who God is. So when I asked Daniel said, okay, Pastor, you know, I'm busy a little bit, but can you make it at about maybe 11? You know, I said, sure, no problem. Daniel, 11, 12, 1, you know, can make it. So and I went there, I waited. And then he said, Pastor, sorry, I'm rushing for another meeting. I'll be a bit late. No worries. I said, take your time, okay? I said, the night is still young. I'm created. I'm a night owl. No problem, Ken, you know. So maybe he showed up at about 11:30. And then we sat down, you know, and we had this candid conversation about God. Right? Now, I know my job is to help him to make God send. So I share a bit about God and all those. And then he popped up the biggest question to me. He says, Pastor, you know, actually, I think I want God. But I was told that when you become a Christian, you cannot worship ancestors. You cannot do the... Right? How many of you struggle with that? Okay, how many of you had friends who struggle with that? Okay, so I told him, I said, simple. I said, don't worry. I said, Daniel, I said, let me walk with you through step by step. Okay, I said, first of all, you have to establish in your heart that you really want God, that it is God that you worship. He said, okay, not a problem. I'm very clear. I don't worship my ancestor. I worship God, but I really want to honor my ancestor. Right? So I said, okay, done. I said, then you take your journey. But let me explain to you the dynamics behind the scene, okay? So I told him this. I said, the whole world knows anything to do with incense has to worship. Okay? Now, how many of you, in the morning, you see your son come to you with incense and say, Papa, I honor you. None of us do that. Correct? None of us do that. Right, you will cook a meal, you know, you will massage your dad, right, to say, Dad, I honor you, right? Okay, none of us. Because the whole world knows incense has to do with worship. Then I said, Daniel, I said, okay, can someone actually do that, but in their heart, they are saying honor, can or not? Of course can, that's a possibility. You're very clear with that, okay? But the whole world knows that that's worship. Then I give him an illustration, and I hope you kind of get the illustration, okay? So I told him, it's like a father. I said, you got a son, right? He said, yeah. So I said, if your son goes around calling everybody father, but even your uncle, he also called father, and then your son comes back to you and say that, actually, I meant it to be uncle, but you are my father only. But I go around telling everybody, are you with me? Right? Now, the culture understand father is father. The culture understand uncle is uncle. Are you with me? I said, how would you feel? You know, right at that moment, he paused for a while. He says, wow, I would have felt that I wasn't being honored. So I said, Daniel, in the same way, you take your journey with God. So then I said, Pastor, I said, thank you so much. I got it. And then I left it to him. A couple of weeks ago, he met up with me. He says, Pastor, I want you to know. The other day, me and my wife, all of us went to the temple. And she worshipped. And then she looked to me, she passed me the... He says, can I not do it? And then the wife was shocked. The wife was actually a Japanese and all the Shintoism, all those. The wife was shocked. The wife said, no lah, you will still do it, wanna? He says, no. He says, I want to honor God. Now, I want you to know, we are called to help people to land at a simple spot of honoring God, make disciples. Gateway, you have done tremendously well in just helping people to take their step and their journey to who God is. I pray that we will do this greater and greater even as we continue to build the church, and that we will have many more people that will take the journey and come to a point that this is why they do what they do. Now, I want all of us to say this together. This is what we say. One, to go, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Why should the work stop while I lift it and come down to you? You know, I pray that everything that we do, we are called to honor God and make disciples. And I pray that whether you're a volunteer, that you will carve out that little time and the focus of us just seeing one by one, people learning to say yes to God and to be able to grow there. I'm going to make my trip to China. And there was a couple of people that this trip I'm going to go to China that I will get to meet. Some of them has become leaders of the church. In fact, there's a few of them that has kind of started a life group, and they're kind of growing to 20, 30 people. They're texting me. They say, Pastor, could you come, you know, and all those things. And I will never, ever forget just about last year when I went to China. And I met up with the group of them. And this group of people came, and this is what they said. They said, Pastor, we were students that came to Malaysia. And because of you. And the story was, this few people, what happened was, it was during Chinese New Year, and they couldn't go back to China. And I kind of invited them to my house to go through Chinese New Year. And through the entire journey, and they got saved, they kind of knitted our hearts together. And then when I was there in China, they said this. They said the greatest thing has ever happened to them, besides getting a certificate, was because they found God in Malaysia. And then they turned to me, they say this. They says with tears in their eyes, they says, Pastor, please do not stop what you are doing. Please do not stop. It is because of what you are doing. Today, I have the gospel. And because I have the gospel, and then he turns to the 20 to 30 people, he says, they have the gospel. And he says, the greatest thing that China needs right now is really the gospel and for God to change the many lives. Could we end by reading the first statement again? One, to go, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. I want to tell you, Every Nation Gateway, you're doing a great work. Don't come down. Keep on honoring God and make disciples. Okay, good amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me pray for you. As we had the worship team, whatever, let me quickly just pray for you.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
God, we come before you. God, we first of all, Lord, we just want to say that, Lord, what an honor to be able to partner with you, to serve you, and to be a servant for the kingdom of God. God, even as we celebrate 1 year old, we celebrate the way you have pieced all of us together. The way you have brought Pastor Poseng back, and the way you have brought all the different volunteers, and as we learn how to honor each other, serve you, oh God. I want to say, God, we are doing a good work and we will not be distracted. So I just pray and prophesy, oh God, Lord, even for the next phase of this church, yes, that the good work will only grow and grow and grow. And helping many people, oh God, Lord, encountering the love of God, which is so incredibly powerful to change us and to help us, oh God, Lord, to continue this journey of making disciples. So, Lord, I speak blessing.
Yes.
I speak strength. I speak courage. I speak, oh God, the hand of the Lord to be strong and mighty in this church and in the lives of Pastor Poseng and
yes,
the entire volunteer team. Lord, we thank you. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Thank you. Thank you. How many of you excited with the word just now?
Yes.
It's amazing, right?
Amazing.
Can you give Pastor Timothy just... Yes. Big round of applause for just his word. Thank you, Lord. All right, we come to the end of our service. I just want to let his word rest in our hearts. I mean, it's a powerful word, all right? So I will not add anything more to it. But if you need any prayers before you leave, all right, every time after the service, we have a time of prayer over here. If you need any prayers, you have some challenges in your life, whatever it may be, okay, I want to encourage you to come forward, and there's our leaders will be here to pray with you.
Amen.
All right, so make your way forward, and for the rest of us, we're dismissed. Thank you so much.